This is Conor Lennon from UN News. The peace deal between government and opposition forces in South Sudan hangs in the balance, but there is an overwhelming desire from people in the Eastern African country for an end to the five-year-long conflict there. That's according to David Shearer, the special representative of the UN Secretary-General for South Sudan. Some 4 million people have been forced to flee their homes since fighting broke out between the government, led by Salva Kiir, and opposition forces loyal to the former vice president, Riek Machar. South Sudan, one of the poorest countries in Africa, only gained its independence from its neighbour, Sudan, in 2011. Speaking to UN News in New York, Mr. Shearer said that it was up to the country's leaders to ensure the people's desire for peace is fulfilled. Daniel Dickinson spoke to Mr. Shearer and began by asking him for the latest on the revitalised peace deal, which was agreed late last year.
The good news is that the ceasefire is holding. The political violence levels have dropped, with the exception of one part of the country, in the Equatorias in the south, which means that on past trends, hundreds of people are alive today that possibly wouldn't have been if the war had continued on. Around about 500,000 people have moved back to their homes over the past few months since the signing of the peace deal. The peace deal itself is being negotiated in Juba between opposition groups who are moving freely around Juba doing that. I have to say it's slow. It's not proceeding as quickly as we would like.
So what's holding things back?
It's frankly a lot about the logistics, the strategy of how we're going forward, particularly with the unification of forces. We've got different armies that need to be brought together. They need to be downsized, and that's taking time. I do think that what we have seen is an increase in trust and confidence. We've seen a lot of meetings at the grassroots level where opposition soldiers and government soldiers have come together and agreed to work together. In fact, I would say that the grassroots is ahead of the national leadership and the national elites who are negotiating nationally. There's a real palpable desire for peace in South Sudan.
And how's it working at a national level? You have the president, Salva Kiir, and you have his long-term rival, Riek Machar. Presumably, they don't get on at all well. They've been at war for several years.
Traditionally, they haven't. They've probably been fighting each other more than they've been together. But certainly, since the peace agreement, both have shown a willingness to try and move things forward. Riek Machar is currently in Khartoum, but his number two and his wife, who plays Angelina Tene, who plays a very big role in his movement, are in Juba, negotiating around things. So what we would like to see, and one of the key issues, is to make sure that Dr. Riek Machar and President Salva Kiir meet together. If they can meet together regularly before November, when this new government's supposed to be formed, we've got a much better chance of it being successful. If they don't, then they kind of cold start right from the very beginning, coming together without having that sort of warm-up conversations that they desperately need to have.
And why aren't they having those meetings?
Certainly President Kiir has invited Riek Machar to come to Juba. I mean, there's obviously Riek Machar himself has some security concerns about coming back. But I think it's got to a point where it is becoming, in some ways, one of the biggest obstacles, in that these are the two main leaders. These are the two that hold the power of the gun, if you like, and they need to come together and work out a lot of the outstanding issues. I believe that many of these issues can be resolved between the two people. That is taking weeks at a lower level of discussion.
You know President Salva Kiir well. You see him on a pretty regular basis. Is he the sort of politician, the sort of leader who's going to make this work?
I think he does. I believe it when he says he wants to make it work. I think he was profoundly affected when he went to meet the Pope, and the Pope kissed the feet of all of these leaders and said, "You must work towards peace." He's a Roman Catholic himself, so it had a big impact on him. And my feeling is that He wants to see peace. I mean, he's been the president there now for a number of years, and the lead person in South Sudan. His legacy should be about leaving South Sudan in peace with a stable future.
And what can you tell me about Riek Machar? Is he the sort of man who's going to be able to make peace as well?
Speaking to him on a number of occasions, that's certainly the impression he's left me with. He's said that he wants to have peace. In terms of, you know, power dynamics, he's out of the country, not in the country, so he's at a disadvantage. But it's really about both sides need to accommodate each other. Both sides need to understand that if they're going to move forward, there's going to have to be some compromise. They're going to have to step back from some of the sort of long-held positions, and that they're able to work together and understand that South Sudan can never be at peace while these two men are not able to talk to each other. So they need to be able to work together inside a government and be accountable to their citizens, which up to now hasn't happened.
And to what extent does the peace deal rely on the personalities of these two main protagonists?
A great deal. Not completely, but certainly a great deal. The way that the peace agreement has been designed is that President Kiir will remain as president, and Dr. Riek Machar will become the first vice president, so he'll be working quite closely together. If they are able to work together collectively within one government and work effectively, their decision-making will be, they'll be accountable for their decision-making right across South Sudan to their citizens. Right now, what we have is the opposition outside the government and the government effectively still taking decisions. And I don't think that's an ideal situation. I think people want to see them to come together and work together.
And what role is the UN playing in this process?
From the bottom to the top, basically. Obviously, we have a big role in terms of protection of civilians. Our peacekeeping troops are patrolling all across the country and trying to at least create the stability, and certainly some of the stability that has enabled people to come back home. But on the peace process, at the grassroots level, there's been around about 113 different rapprochements, different meetings that have happened, where opposition and government have come together, they've met together, they've agreed how they're going to work together, and we have facilitated at least a quarter of those. You know, I was in Maridi recently where the opposition came in, four of the government governors came together with several hundred people sitting around partaking in these peace discussions. And you have people sitting there who were at war together just a few months ago talking about how they build peace. At the grassroots level, that's very important, the work that we do. And then at the national level, we are providing all sorts of expertise in both the security sector and the issue of how many states there should be, right across the board, in terms of providing the support that's needed in order for the peace process to go ahead and not stumble because of the lack of expertise.
I know you're an optimistic man. What's your gut feeling about how this is going to be all resolved?
I think it hangs in the balance. I'm really encouraged by the degree to which when I meet with ordinary people, when I go out into various parts and locations around South Sudan, how strong their desire for peace is. And that's what encourages me more than anything. I think it's really up to the leadership to make sure that desire is fulfilled. So I think it hangs in the balance, but we are possibly seeing the best chance for peace that South Sudan's had in a number of years. And it's just a matter of making sure that we keep the momentum going, we keep these groups talking to each other, and we slowly and surely consolidate each step and make sure that we don't slide backwards. I'm an optimistic guy. I'd like to see, and I think South Sudan deserves it, deserves peace. It's been a long time where they haven't had it.